Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of the Group Answers Podcast. Thanks for being with us. I'm Brian Daniel with Chris Surratt. Chris.
Hey.
Welcome to May. We made it.
We made it.
We made it through another hard Middle Tennessee winter.
Yep, it feels much better now.
Is it official? Is it official now? I mean, we had spring forward. We had, was it the equinox or the solstice back in March? Mm-hmm. Memorial Day is out ahead of us, which is kind of the official harbinger, I guess, yep, of the summer. New season.
Yep.
But we're there. I mean, May's good.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, we've crossed some sort of Rubicon, haven't we?
I like May. Baseball's in full swing.
See what you did there?
In sync. Yeah. Like that?
It wasn't even intentional, was it? That's how good you are.
In sync wrote the theme song for today.
Which is?
It's going to be May.
Oh.
Did you not know that?
No.
Yeah.
I did not.
So if you have not played it today at some point, just... look it up on your favorite streaming app. It's going to be me, but Justin Timberlake pronounces it as May. So it's going to be May. But yeah, no, I love May. I love the season. You know, we're kind of hitting into vacations and we talked about that with Michael, but it's fun. It's not too hot yet. It's warming up, but we're not blazing. You know, we haven't hit July, so it's a good time of the year.
Well, we are today going to be talking about a new book that our own Chris Surratt has written and other people have edited, which means rewritten, right, Chris?
Yeah.
No, that's probably not true.
It actually is. It's a good,
actually, yeah, it's nothing that I wrote.
It's a good point. I get a lot of questions about writing books because I've written a couple. And one of the things I always say is no matter if you've got a publisher, I was blessed to have an amazing publisher on both of them. Thomas Nelson was the first one, then B&H was this one. And they provided editors. But even if you're self-publishing, get a good editor. Because you need it. You really do. It makes it such a better book.
Yeah, and editing yourself is just not a good formula. I think some people might be able to do it, but the chances are that's not whoever's listening.
That's good.
It's kind of like, what is it? What does it say about a lawyer who hires himself? Has a fool for a client. Is that it?
Yeah.
I think editorial process may work the same way.
Yeah, I am not one of those who should be editing his own book. It's funny, when I turn in my manuscript, I'm a little anal on this, but I go over every word, and then I get the corrections back, and Taylor was my content editor on this one, and I'm going, wow, I never thought of it that way. I mean, it's good to get that other perspective, and somebody who's a lot smarter than you are.
So this book, Chris, is Leading Small Groups. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask you about another book he wrote, Small Groups for the Rest of Us. I've always told you that I love that title. That was out in 2015. So why did you, with that already in print, what was the impetus for writing Leading Small Groups?
Another small groups book. We really need, no, it's that wasn't it. But yeah, when I wrote Small Groups for the Rest of Us, kind of the viewpoint was I saw group systems in my own group system when I was running it at a church that didn't reach people like me. I'm a little bit more introverted now that we have the Enneagram, which wasn't around when I wrote that book, or at least it wasn't popular yet. I'm a 5. What are you, Brian? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't done it yet, but I would guess somewhere in that 13 range.
Well, it goes to 9. So, well, you can make your own.
Well, that's why you shouldn't just randomly pick numbers when asked a question like that.
You shouldn't. You should probably discuss that in pre-show. But I'm not super huge into it. I haven't read all the books, but I've taken the test. And it's fun. We did it with our group, which was a lot of fun. We actually bantered back and forth what we were, and it tells you a lot about kind of where people are. But anyways, I'm a 5, so if you're a 5, you kind of get it. One of the bad things about a 5 is you tend to want to be isolated, and that's not good for group life, obviously. So I saw a system that I was trying to produce that was very much for extroverted people, all you eights and nines. My daughter is an eight. She is about as extroverted as you get, so I understand that. You love small groups. You know, you love getting together. You love talking with people. You love community. You want more and more and more. We're us, more introverts, we struggle with that. And so, you know, I was designing a small group system that reached to those extroverts and had connect events with lots and lots of people. And you can read the book and find out about all of that. But anyways, I saw something, and that's why it was called For the Rest of Us. So, you know, I wanted to write something that said, you know, there's a lot of us out there that wouldn't naturally fit into our small group systems. How do we reach them? And then beyond that, it started with kind of the introverts and the in people like me. And then it went beyond to how do we reach people in our community and the crowd and kind of going out through the concentric circles. So that one came out in 2015. And since then, I've kind of talked about that. But I've seen a need for, okay, how do we actually do a small group? So, you know, I wrote a book about systems, and that's for kind of the church staff person. But if somebody comes to this and they want to start a small group, how do I do that? You know, from step one to step 15, what are some things that I can do? And so I wanted to write a book that kind of filled that need, and, you know, that somebody could pick it up. They've never even heard of a small group or a church small group, kind of follow it through and start their own small group.
So leading small groups for the rest of us tends to be for that type of person. So who is then leading small groups primarily for? Has that been written for?
Yeah, it's for a few different people. One is somebody who has never led a small group, wants to start a small group, and doesn't know where to start. So that's kind of the basic customer for this group. You know, if you pick up that book, you read it from chapter 1 to chapter 8, you're going to kind of discover some ways to start a small group, lead a small group, you know, multiply a small group. So it's for those. It's also for current small group leaders who want to know how to lead better. You know, I've got some chapters on there on how do you lead a gospel-centered small group? How do you show hospitality? How do you get your group to serve? And, you know, so it's for those current group leaders that just want to be better leaders. And it's also for group leaders who want to multiply, because, you know, ultimately we want to create more disciples because we were given that command. That's why we do this. And the only way that we're going to create generations of disciples is if we multiply, you know, our small groups, multiply the medium that we use to disciple people. And so there's, you know, a couple chapters on just how do you multiply. So if you're in the middle of a group and you feel like you want to move your group toward multiplication, you know, that's a great, great book to pick up. And it's also for church leaders, church staff leaders who lead groups, who want to hand their group leaders something as a training tool. You know, they can read it, they can actually do training sessions through it. So if you've got a brand new leader and they don't know what to do, you can hand it to them. If you've got an existing leader, they can hand it to them. And when I was in charge of groups, there wasn't really anything quite like that, where I could just get it, hand it to my group leaders, and know that it's a good manual for starting a small group.
Chris, what makes this book different from some of the other ones? I mean, I know that you're on top of the typical resources that are available. And it's not like this is a category that's adding titles all the time, but every couple of years you will get one of these books that'll come out. Most of them are towards at the leadership level at some level. So what makes leading small groups maybe distinctive from some of those, or maybe how does it build on what's come before?
Yeah. And there's definitely some great books out there. What I discovered is there's not a ton that's just for the small group leader. There's a lot of books in this category that are for the church staff, for the church leader on systems, and that's important. I wrote one of those, but I didn't find a ton of books just for the small group leader. So the volunteer, the leader of the small group, and there are some out there. Steve Gladen has written a great book, and there are a couple books that are just kind of bullet list kind of tips for leading a small group, and those are important as well. But I wanted to write a comprehensive book that you can really take it and use it in every aspect of group life. So I've got, you know, a section on gathering your small group. So what does it look like to actually kind of put it out there? And I've got a section on leading it. What does that mean? And then a section on multiplying it and all of these. So it really gets comprehensive in detail, and you can read it word by word, or you can take the chapter or the section that fits where you are as a group leader in this season and kind of use it that way. Also, each chapter has some questions at the end of it to kind of help bring some self-examination. So, you know, have I thought about this? Have I thought about that as I lead my small group or launch my small group or gather my small group? So it can reinforce the ideas of the chapter and also be used as kind of pick it off the shelf. You know, we've launched the group. We're 3 months into it. Oh, man, I'm hitting some EGRs in my group, those extra grace required. You know, I've got some chapters on or some sections on that. So you can pull that back out. So I really wanted to go, you know, get into the weeds on this one. You know, not just stay at the surface. And that's kind of, I think, what makes it a little bit different.
All right. Let's talk about that person that may not be listening, honestly, but I think this would be good information for those that are listening that is not currently leading, maybe is on the couch, maybe someone that's active in the church, maybe someone that wants to take that next step towards leadership, or maybe someone that a leader would like to see take that next step towards leadership. What are the barriers, as you see them, to becoming a small group leader?
Yeah, I think the biggest barrier, honestly, is that word leader. Most of us do not see ourselves as a leader, especially when it comes to something in the church. You know, if we just attend church, we see paid staff, you know, and we see the pastors, and it's easy to say those are leaders. But when it comes to ourselves leading, you know, a group of people, discipling somebody, it's tough to get past what we preconceive as that leader. You know, I see a leader as somebody that is, you know, in charge of a lot of people, is charismatic, is extroverted, you know, has read all the books and all of that. And so for me to become a leader, I think I have to become that. And that's just almost impossible for most of us. And so I think it's getting past that. And in the book, I talk about some of the leaders that we look at in the Bible, you know. A lot of fallen leaders, a lot of leaders that had major personal issues that they had to get past and did not naturally look like a leader. I mean, if you go down at, you know, David and Peter and all these just leaders that led the early church and led, you know, just amazingly, just they had major issues. And so if you look at them, you start going, okay, I can possibly do this. I can see myself with God's help, with the Holy Spirit through me, and with a little bit of training, really anybody can step up and lead a small group. But a lot of people never get to that because that word leader, you know, some churches have taken that word leader off and they call them hosts or, you know, different names for them just to take that barrier away. And so I think that's the biggest one. I mean, if we can get past that, we can learn some things, we can get training, you know, all of that. And anyone, honestly, can lead us. If I can lead a small group, you can lead a small group.
One of the greatest predictors of a disciple's spiritual growth is regular Bible reading. That's why Lifeway created the Daily Discipleship Guide. This new resource in the Bible Studies for Life family contains content for a weekly group Bible study, but it also includes 5 daily devotions to reinforce what was learned in the group meeting. And that daily commitment to reading God's Word helps create a habit that leads to discipleship. To download 4 free sessions of the Daily Discipleship Guide, visit BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. That's BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG.
Okay, you've referenced gathering, and you just talked about leading, and these are, according to the book, 2 of the 4 stages of leading a small group, along with gathering. So the stages are gathering, launching, leading, and multiplying. Talk us through those 4.
Yeah. I think these are the 4 major points that you've got to kind of get through as you lead a small group. And the first one is gathering. Who is going to be in my small group? So if you're thinking about being a small group leader, you've got to have people in your group. So how do I get people? Where do I look for people? You know, how do I convince them to be a part of my group? And honestly, if you've got 2 or 3 friends, that can be a small group. You know, it doesn't have to be the 12, you know, 8 to 12 or 12 to 16 magic number. If you can start with 2 to 3 friends, you can start a small group. You have influence there. It can be a group. But how do we gather? So in the book, I talk about just some ways to do that, you know, through personal circles. Who do you look for? How do you make the invite? What are some things that they're going to ask that you need to have answers for? I also talk about working with your church. If your church does like small group fairs or connect events, you know, being prepared for that. So first you got to gather them together. You got to gather your small group. And then after that, you've got to launch. And if you're going to have a successful small group, you want to launch well. You know, if you kind of launch and it doesn't work, or you sputter to a launch, then it doesn't have a good chance of lasting and being a sustainable small group. So how do you launch? How do you set up that first meeting? How do you create a place that people want to come and come back to the next week? You know, so launching is very, very important. And then obviously leading, you know, how do we lead a small group? How do we lead a discussion? How do we ask the right type of questions? What does it look like to have good hospitality and have authenticity when it comes to your leadership? So all of these things, how do you deal with difficult people? You know, how do you ask somebody to not be a part of your group? That's really hard. So all of these things we need to pay attention to. So that's important. And then finally, a stage that most small groups honestly never get to is that multiplication. And we talked about that, but how do you multiply it? How do you make that a celebration? How do you raise up a secondary leader or an apprentice so they can either, you know, step out and start their own group or take over your group and you step out and start a new group? So kind of those seasons, and then it starts over. We've got to gather, we've got to launch, we've got to lead, and we've got to multiply. And that's how we kind of sustain a small group through the season of life.
Dare I say that when most people think in terms of a small group leader and even small groups and within the context of leadership, they inevitably think through that week to week or whatever the schedule is, leadership and what that means. That's preparation, that's choosing studies, that's scheduling events, that's maintaining an emphasis on discipleship and missionality.
Yep.
And I get all of that. And that is probably in terms of percentage, that's going to be a high percentage of this, of these stages, that mm-hmm. leading and then hopefully multiplying.
Mm-hmm.
But as you talk, it may be missed just how important and maybe even how difficult those first two stages are that would be real easy to be dismissive of, gathering and launching.
Yep.
So as you have thought through this and as you composed the manuscript and worked through the book content itself, which stage is the most difficult, in your opinion, for a small group leader to navigate?
Yeah, I think there's really two stages, but we talked about multiplication. I think that one's really, really difficult. The other one is gathering.
Yeah, not surprising.
I really think it's gathering, just getting the group off the ground, knowing who to invite to your group, you know, picking the right day, the right time, getting people to come back to the group. So it's really that gathering first step, because a lot of group leaders, and we would have a lot of earnest group leaders that were excited about starting a group, and it never happened because they didn't know how to gather. And so they would rely on the church to help them gather, which that can happen. But honestly, if you don't, you know, start a group with kind of your circle in mind, it's going to be hard to kind of get that group going. If you have people, you know, just being sent by the church, and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. And if you don't get enough into that group, then when people miss, it's you, you know, or you and one other person. And so it's hard to get traction. So really, yeah, that gathering piece, I would say, is the most difficult.
At what stage is the vision casting, or at least establishing some sort of expectation? Is that more on the launch part of this, or is that a part of the gathering, those very early stages?
It's both. Okay. You know, and I talk about in the book basically having a vision statement for your group. So when you're asking somebody to be a part of your group, know why the group exists. So it's casting that vision from that first conversation. And it's just one or two sentences. This is why our group exists. But then also, once you've launched the group, it's that first group meeting when you use that group agreement or that group covenant, and you're setting the vision for what this group is going to be about and listing, you know, those rocks that we're going to stand on as a group. And then again, that's casting vision. So it's really two pieces. It's that individual, you know, why would I want to be a part of this group? And then it's that group-wide, why would I want to continue on with this group? Why does it matter?
So, guys, obviously there are limitations to the podcast format, as great as it is. So Chris is, in this time, is not going to be able to go into as much detail, obviously, as the book will have. But this is just to give you some idea of the kinds of things that you could glean from that. And I would encourage you to pick this up and, like Chris has said, to pass it out to potential group leaders and existing group leaders, because even those that are experienced, sometimes you just need, I wouldn't call it a reboot, but to be reintroduced to some things just to galvanize and get some additional energy into the leadership. So, Chris, how can a church leader best use this book in training group leaders?
Yeah, I think you can take it, and obviously it's in four sections. And, you know, give it out to your group leaders, but also I think you can build some training on each one of those sections. So, you know, some training on gathering, some training on launching, some training on leading, and some training on multiplying. And you don't have to do it all at once. I wouldn't do it all at once. So that's not like a one night we're going to hit all four stages. But you can build ongoing training with each one of those sections and give the book out as kind of homework. You know, if you want to go deeper on this, here's some things that you can use in the book. But build it, make it your own voice, and just use those four stages of group leadership and give, you know, the people wherever they are, if they're in the gathering, the launching stage or the leading stage or wherever, and just build some training modules around this. Maybe, you know, use four nights during the semester, or do, you know, some of it online through Facebook or however you want to do it, but just kind of follow that format and then use the book as, you know, as a reinforcement for it. And also I shot some videos to go along with that you can grab, and I'll put them in the show notes where you can grab those. But I took each one of those sections and shot a video for it. So you can use those as well if you want to show those as a part of your training or send them out to your group leaders. I know some group leaders learn better by reading. Some group leaders learn better by, you know, watching a video. So that can kind of supplement the training as well.
Thanks, Chris. Again, that's Leading Small Groups, and that is available now. And I would encourage you guys to find that and take a look at it. Again, Chris can be reached
any way that you want to. My email, I give it out, chris.surratt, S-U-R-R-A-T-T, at lifeway.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Chris Surratt, or Instagram. Those tend to be the two places I kind of live. And it's at Chris Surratt as well there.
If I wanted to pick up a copy, how best to do that?
Anywhere that you buy books, it'll be available. Obviously, Amazon will be available on lifeway.com, which the cool thing about Lifeway is they're going to have some bundle deals. So if you want to buy, you know, a bunch for all of your group leaders, you can get a special price on that. So check that out at lifeway.com. So pretty much, yeah, anywhere you can buy a book.
So Chris, we've come a long way, bro. We are piping down, we mentioned it before, to our 100th episode.
I know.
The 100th episode.
Two more episodes, yep.
So it's a big deal. Also a big deal was the day that we got invited to be a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Do you remember where you were when you got the news?
I remember what I was eating. I mean, it was just, I just couldn't believe it.
It's pasta, wasn't it?
I saw the email.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. Well, there are several other shows on the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network, all of which we are more than honored to be associated with. And one of those is The One Thing. Chris, have you listened to The One Thing podcast?
I have. It's really good.
This is with Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna. As part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, they've recently covered topics like religion in 2019, which was really interesting, you can download that now. Best practice church administration and understanding your church members. Just look up The One Thing on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. And speaking of subscribing,
yeah, please subscribe to us. You may already, and if you do, rate us. And the best place to do that is iTunes, because the ratings actually make a difference. The more people that you get to rate it, the more visible it is, and we would love to hear your comments. We've mentioned several times, we take them seriously.
Thank you for being with us. And again, we're looking forward to our 100th episode. The planning has been underway already for a year.
We have a secret special guest coming.
Yeah, secret special guest. And Jeff, the only fired co-host,
yep,
did not get an invitation for reasons that should be obvious to us all.
Well, we blocked his number on our phones for obvious reasons.
All right, you guys know we're joking. There's no such person as Jeff if you made it this far. Thanks for being with us. Look forward to being with you again, and subscribe and rate. That's going to do it for Chris and Brian. Hope you have a great week.